Let's just hold that for a moment. The Spirit of God is moving already, but I asked the Lord today, if you were here this morning, you might remember I said, Father, we just want to pick up where we left off. You know, so many times in our life, as girls particularly, as women, we tend to lose the ground we gained. You know, we gain this amazing ground in the Spirit, and then we get all messed up in the cares of life, and we lose the ground we gained. But God is calling us to learn how to put a spiritual bookmark. Right here, God, this is where we are, and I'm not going to lose anything behind me. We're going to start right here. The next time I come to prayer, I'm not going to have to spend 15 minutes getting over myself. I'm going to start right here. I'm going to be dead already when I get here, right? I mean, so it's time for us to stop losing the ground we take. It's time for us to possess the ground we take. For your children, for your marriage, for your family, for your own walk with God. I don't know about you. I told the girls this morning, one of the things that just frustrates me is when, this is why I'm not a pastor, this is why I'm an evangelist. Because it frustrates me so when the same three people have the same problems week after week after week. I mean, here's my way of counseling. Admit it and quit it. I mean, it kind of carries over into my parenting. I told my children, I said, I don't want you to come back and say you're sorry one more time. I mean, I already know you're pretty sorry. Or you wouldn't have done that over and over and over again, okay? You're sorry, all right. Sorry as can be. I want you to stop being sorry, and I want you to learn how to be different. See, this is what God's calling us all to be. He's calling us to be different. How many of you figured out if I could be different, my future would be different than where I came from? I grew up in Choctaw County, Mississippi. Hallelujah. You can tell a little bit of it still hangs in there. Just a little bit. I was telling the pastoral staff today, I just finished a new CD, and on the CD, I was on the way to the studio, and I felt this song coming up. I was just reading Psalm 150, and it was just, I got in the car. See, the Psalms, the scripture should come alive inside of you, and you should be able to sing it right back to God. And so I was in the car, and I'm on the way to the studio, and I got this song. It's just started. Let every living, breathing creature praise him. 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 Now see, at that moment, in that car, you are the best singer on the earth, right? You know? Hallelujah, 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 praise him. Hallelujah, 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 praise him. So I was all excited about this song. So when I got to the studio, I told the guys, I said, we're going to lay this song down. So we lay it down, and I get it back this week, and we've already gone to print, so I can't take it back. Nobody told me until I heard it. I recorded it like this. Let every living, breathing creature praise him. Let every living, breathing creature praise him. I said, what did somebody say? I mean, I was just in the spirit, so I went a little southern in the spirit. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Thank God he understands southern. It's like somewhere between English and tongues. Southern. God is calling us to be worship. He's calling us to be worship, be worship, be worship, be worship. We've been doing worship long enough. It's time we be worship. He's calling us to be worship. You see, there are things about to happen inside of you. There are things about to happen in the spirit. There are things happening in the spirit that's going to translate to your natural. Every woman in this place is about to find your voice of victory. Every woman is about to discover that you have a sound inside of you that can translate into the realm of authority in this spirit realm that we live in, we call earth. In Matthew 16, verse 19, Jesus is talking here. And he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Now, I'm not going to teach you this big revelation God gave me that I just put in a book. It'll be out in 3 weeks called Tones of the Throne Room. But I'm going to give you a hint for you. Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. I give you. So that means you have them. You already have the keys of the kingdom. I give you the keys of the kingdom. But I want you to notice one little article, one little preposition there. If you, how many of you drove here? You got your key? Okay, take your key out. When you hold that key up to your car, or you hold that key up to your house, do you say that's the key? What? To your car. So the preposition you use is to, correct? You use the key to your car, you use the key to your house, right? But when Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom, he didn't say to the kingdom. He said of the kingdom. Now the only time you use the preposition of with the word keys is when you're referring to tones. Music, the key of A, the key of B, the key of C, the key of D, the key of G, the key of, there's only seven of them. Jesus said, I give you the keys, K-E-Y-S, keys of the kingdom. Now, it's only one kingdom, so if it was just a key to the kingdom, you'd only need one. But the keys of refers to more than one keys because you are all God's instrument and each one of you already has a tone inside of you that unlocks heaven for your earth world. So when you pray, you don't realize it and you don't even have to know it, but there's a tone inside of you that causes heaven to open up when you pray. It literally opens a portal above you so that heaven becomes a reality to the earth. Jesus said, when the disciples said, teach us how to pray. Jesus said, when you pray, say. Make sound. Because when you make sound when you pray, now listen, this is going to wake some of you up in the spirit. You're going to realize your sound counts in the kingdom of God. When you pray, heaven stands at attention. I've been waiting for that girl to pray like that. I've been waiting for that girl to step off into the realm of who she really is. I've been waiting to hear some authority. Hebrews 12 tells us, for we have come to Mount Zion, verse 22. Hebrews 12, verse 22. For we have come to Mount Zion. It sets it up by saying, you didn't come by way of Mount Sinai where the law was given. No, I bypassed the law. Jesus said, you've come to the place where worship establishes kingdom authority. When you worship God, don't disqualify yourself and say, oh, I'm not a worshiper. If you are born again, you were created to worship God. If you can make any sound at all, you have the ability to open heaven above you by calling heaven to the earth. Because Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father. Call him Father. You have access to put yourself in the right position for kingdom authority. But if you don't step into your position, God didn't change it just because you won't get in it. God gave you the ability to step into your position. Listen, there is time. It is time for us to take our place in the kingdom of God. It is time for us to find our voice. Two scriptures come to my mind immediately. In Luke chapter 1, God sent an angel to talk to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, documented history tells us they are in their 80s by the time the angel says to Zechariah, you're going to have a son. Hello. That means that they've been married at least 60 years. And the angel says, I've come because I've come in answer to your prayer. So that means for 60 years, the guy's still praying for a son. Some of us, after 3 weeks, stop praying. Put God on a timeline. God, if you don't do it by this time, Hello? 60 years they've been praying for a son. God says, I'm going to give you a son. He's not the Messiah, but he's the next best thing. He's the forerunner to the Messiah. He's going to say, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He's going to say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The angel says, Zechariah, your wife, she's going to get pregnant and she's going to have this son. His name will be called John. He's going to be filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit even from the womb. Now listen, if I'm in my 80s and I get pregnant, that baby better be filled with the Holy Ghost. Dear Lord. Oh my goodness. It better come out talking in tongues. But Zechariah gets to the point where he hears what heaven says, and all of a sudden, he starts disqualifying himself because he actually thought God needed him. God doesn't need us. It's a privilege to get to serve God. It's an honor to get to be in the kingdom of God. He doesn't need us. He wants us. He loves us. He says, I don't need you, but I want you anyway. I want you to be involved. Zechariah said, you know, how shall I know this? Really? You got a 15-foot angel filled with light talking to you. You need another sign? Hello. I mean, that was a guy. I mean, sorry, guys, but really. Only a guy would have said, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man. That makes me laugh. That makes me laugh that he's telling the angel that he's an old man. Like God can't keep up with your birthdays. He knows how old you are. And then he says, and my wife, she's well advanced in years. I mean, wow, really? Immediately he disqualifies, he disqualifies, he disqualifies. This morning I shared, when the Lord began to undo me in the last 10 years, he began to take me apart. You see, you get to a point in your life with God that you think you know something. But I'm 57 years old and this is what I know. I don't know anything. You get to the point where you figure out with God, you know nothing. Without God, you know nothing. With God, you can do all things, but you still don't know anything. You're just under orders. You're just walking. You're just obeying. If he says stop, you stop. If he says walk, you walk. Why? Because when you get to a certain point in your life, you quit trying to do it on your own and you let God do it through you. But the one little part of the verse I want you to notice in Luke chapter 1 is when Zechariah said, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. The angel spoke back to him and he said, the word of God will be fulfilled. So you cannot believe, the word of God's still going to be fulfilled. And he said, but because you did not believe the word of God, you will be silent. And this is what came in my spirit tonight when I was praying for you. Ladies, you don't have to lose your voice. You don't have to lose your authority. You don't have to lose your influence. But when God gives you a revelation, when God gives you a word, when God gives you a family, when God gives you children, when God gives you a husband, when he gives you things that you're supposed to be influencing in the spirit, you're supposed to be standing in the gap. You're supposed to be praying. You're supposed to be interceding. Talk up to your husband, not down to it. He's going to live to whatever level you talk. Talk up to your children. They'll live up to what you say. Or they'll live down. Whatever direction you speak, they'll live to that level. Talk up to yourself. Look in the mirror and say who you really are. You're a king and a priest, called and appointed and anointed for such a time as this. And that takes us into Esther, chapter 4, verse 14. In Esther, chapter 4, verse 14, now I've preached Esther for 35 years. I love that book. And I've even preached the last half of verse 14. It says, "For Mordecai says to her, for how do you know that you did not come into the kingdom for such a time as this?" Right? But the first part of that verse, she said, I can't go in. I can't go talk to the king. I can't say anything because he hadn't called for me. And if I go in and he hadn't called for me, if I go in and he didn't call for me, if he doesn't hold out the scepter, then I'm a dead woman. Mordecai, I said, girl, you dead either way. You dead if you don't go in, you dead if you do, but you're gonna have to die to get this thing done. And this is what God is calling us to do. He's calling us to die to ourselves. For you to fulfill the call of God on your life, it's gotta stop being about you. And it's gonna have to be all about him. He said to her, for if you remain completely silent at this time, we're in that time right now. A year or two ago, it was still in the future. It's not in the future anymore. We're here. God is calling you to step up to the plate. He's calling you to step up and start declaring, prophesying. Prophesy to your children. Prophesy to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Prophesy. This is what God says. You are God's children. You will be taught of the Lord. You will be great in the kingdom of God. You will finish well. You will finish strong. You got to start prophesying. You got to start speaking what God wants to be said instead of what you're looking at. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief will arise for the nation from somewhere else. And some people go, whoo, thank God he's going to use somebody else. You thought God's going to let you off the hook? No. But, listen, anytime God uses the word but, your butt's in trouble. Big trouble. Relief will arise for the nation from somewhere else, but you and your household will perish because of your silence. Ladies, this is a call to arms in the spirit. God is raising up an army of women, of men, of children, of ladies who will stand in the gap and not be afraid to make their sound heard so that the kingdom of heaven can come to the earth and establishment of his kingdom come. Jesus said to the disciples, when you pray, say, Father, position yourself as daughter of the king. Not just servant, daughter. Daughter of the king. Father, your kingdom come. Your will done. That's what he said to do. Make declaration. Make declaration. What are you doing? You're agreeing with the word. It's time. In Hebrews 12, I had you turn there. In Hebrews 12, he said, for you have not come to Mount Sinai, but you have come to Mount Zion. You have come. That's past tense verb. You have come. You have come. Everybody say, you have come. You have come to Mount Zion, verse 22, even to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the countless multitudes of angels. And it goes on and on. It starts naming the voices. God is calling you to find your voice. Find your voice for his glory. Find your voice. Begin to declare and decree what God says. Stop saying what you've walked through and start saying where you're going. Stop saying, I'm this way because of that. I mean, I was sexually abused for 10 years of my life. That's why I act like this. That's why my marriage is in the mess it is, because I was sexually abused. So that's why I act like this. Oh, get over it. Now, I can say that because I was sexually abused for 10 years of my life. Last night, when I went before the Father and I said, what do you want me to say to the girls at Girlfriends? 3 hours I stayed before the Father. I said, Lord, tell me what you want me to say. And he said, I want you to tell them to get over it. It's time. It's time. Deal with it. Deal with it. That doesn't mean pretend like it never happened. I would never, ever disqualify your broken place. I would never, ever, ever try to tell you that it's not horrible. Listen, I buried my daughter. I would never, ever tell somebody that grief is not real. It's real, and it messes with you. And 3 months later after I buried our daughter, I had colon cancer, because grief makes you sick if you don't deal with it. I understand. I would never, ever try to tell you that what you're going through doesn't matter, because it matters. But what I'm telling you is that God has called each and every one of us a place inside of Him to come to where we stop living in our pain. Our pain stops being our reflection. Our pain stops being our whole identity. We stop identifying with our broken place, and we start identifying with Christ. For I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's Him. It's all about Him. So we all have journeys. Every one of you could take the mic. Every one of you could share what God has brought you through. Some of you right in the middle of it right now. And never would I try to diminish it, but I'm telling you, there's only one way through what you're going through. You're going to have to learn how to worship, how to rule and reign through your worship. You're going to have to learn how to come to Mount Zion, for you have come to Mount Zion. What happens when we worship? See, worship's not just this little part that goes on in the when we play the music and when we sing the songs, and we call that the worship part of the service. Lie. When you came in, you were worship. When you go out, you are worship. When you're in the car, you are worship. When we receive the offering, that's worship. When you sing, that's worship. Sometimes. Sometimes it's performance. And when you know and have the Spirit of God inside of you, you know the difference. You might not be able to identify what it is, but you just feel the ick. Something's not right about that. I don't know what that is, but something's just not right. The Holy Spirit lets you know. The Holy Spirit lets you know something's not quite right. And here's why God allows you to see things, not for you to fix it, not for you to correct it. God shows you things so you don't do it. Everything God's ever shown you is not for you to go over there and try to fix it. He shows you things so you don't duplicate it. He'll say, that, not acceptable. That's acceptable. Now, it might be the best voice over here that he said was not acceptable, and it might be the worst voice over here. He said, that's acceptable. Why? Heart. God judges the heart. It's all about the heart of your worship, not about your gift. Lucifer, Ezekiel chapter 28, had the greatest gift ever been given to a worshiper. His literal insides were organs and pipes and timbrels and sounds. He was covered with stones, and all the stones put off light and they put off sound, and they made this amazing sound. And God said in Ezekiel 28, he was perfect in all his ways. This is God talking about his lead worshiper. He said he was perfect in all his ways until one little tiny word, until, caused him to be forever disqualified as a worshiper in the presence of God. Now, here's the thing. Every one of us must guard our heart from the until moments. You're perfect until. You were doing it right. You were worshiping God. You weren't being moved by what's going on around you. You didn't let your mouth line up with your circumstances, but you were saying what God says. You're praying in the Holy Ghost. You're believing God. You're being led by the Spirit until. And in one moment where pride is elevated above the broken place of humility, when pride is elevated, the until moment happens and it disqualifies you immediately. And it has absolutely nothing to do with your gift. It's always about the heart. Listen, it's not about people on the platform. Listen, if we can't get it right at home, you can never bring it on the platform what you can't do at home. If you don't worship in your bathroom, if you don't worship in your car, if you don't worship in your kitchen, don't be bringing it in here with all your performance going on, because God will not be pleased. God says, if you lay your life before me, see, he took me in a little vision when I was trying to grasp this by the Spirit. And first he took me in this little kitchen, had nothing on the walls, little tiny room, had a little 1960s Formica top table, you know, with that little silver lip around it. Anybody remember that table? Right in the middle of that table was a clarinet. And the bowl was sitting down on the table. The mouthpiece was sticking straight up in the air. And the Spirit of God was standing on my left, and he said, make that clarinet worship me. And I was confused. I was like, well, Lord, you know I don't play the clarinet. I didn't know what he wanted me to do. So I just stood there for a moment, and I thought, what do you want me to do? And the Spirit of God said, make that instrument worship me. And I was confused. I was concerned. I wanted to do it right, but I didn't know what to do, because I understood if I picked it up, it would not be worship. No worship would come out of that clarinet. So finally I said to the Lord, I can't play that instrument. And even if I pick it up, I'll have to put my mouth on it and blow through it. And when I do that, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be worship. And the Lord said, that's right. You are my woodwind instrument. He said, until I pick you up and I put my mouth on you and I blow my spirit through you, there is no sound coming out of you that is worthy to be heard in my throne room. You see, it's not about the instrument at all. It's about the yieldedness. How yielded can you be before the Father? He longs to play us for his glory. And that doesn't just mean songs. Every time you open your mouth, God is playing you for his glory if you let him. Walking down the Walmart aisle, standing in the grocery store line, everywhere you go, you are his instrument. He longs to play you for his glory. Everything that comes out of your mouth is supposed to be bringing glory to the Father God. What's coming out of you? What sound? Is it qualifying you or is it disqualifying you? Because that is the sound God gave you. Now, you might say, well, you know, I can't sing. You don't have to be a singer. You have a sound. You may be the kettle drum in God's orchestra, but your sound is important. You may be the tinkling cymbal. You may be the triangle. You may be the oboe or the bassoon, but your sound is very important. And when you disqualify it and say, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy enough, listen, you may not be first chair violin, but God doesn't need an entire orchestra of first chair violins. He needs you to fill your sound in the heavenlies so that the heavens can open up and his power can come to the earth. So what is worship? Worship is not about a part of the service. Worship is about setting up. The moment we worship right, the courts of heaven come into session. Everything is decided, done. When you worship, everything that you need done in the natural is settled in heaven. When you worship, heaven opens up and you call heaven to the earth. Come! Done! I don't care if all hell is after you. God settles the issue. God settles the issue. And I won't stay on this much longer, but I want you to get it. When Jesus went after the cross, he went into hell. And the scripture says in Revelations that he took back what? What? The keys what? Of... He took back the keys of death and hell, which means when Satan went to hell, he took two frequencies, two sound waves, two sounds with him. And Jesus said, nope, you don't get to keep those either. You don't have any sound that belongs to you. You don't get to keep the sound of death. You don't get to keep the sound of the grave. I take back all of that for my people. You don't get to have any sound wave that matters. I'm taking it all back for my people. Now, why do I want you to hear this? Because there is nothing that has any authority in the realm of your life when you belong to Jesus except the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that has any authority higher than the name of Jesus Christ. When you say Jesus, every devil gets down. Every devil. When you say Jesus, cancer starts to disintegrate. When you say Jesus, heart disease lines up. When you say Jesus, why? Because that name is above every name. That name is higher than anything that could ever be said, ever be sounded. There's no sound higher than the name of Jesus. Jesus. No sound. No sound. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The Father says that right now he's knocking on the door of your heart. Knocking, knocking, knocking. He's knocking on the door of your heart. If you will open the door, he says, I will come in and I will be with you and I will change you forever. Your life will never be the same from this day forth, but you have to say, I'll open the door and let you come in. Right now, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. I wanted you to close your eyes and bow your head because I want you to get along with him for just a minute. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Knock, knock, knocking on the door of your heart. He's knocking. He's knocking. Will you open the door? Will you open the door and let him come in? He is knocking on your heart. He's knocking, he's knocking. He's knocking. He's knocking on the door of your heart. Open the door, open the door. You are my daughter. I'm calling you. Come, come, come. I'm calling you to my feet. I'm calling you to my feet. Come. I want to hold you in my arms. I want to heal your broken heart. I want to show you who you are. Won't you open the door? Won't you open the door? I'm knock, knock, knocking. I'm knock, knock, knocking. Won't you open the door and let me come in? If you know he's knocking on the door of your heart right now, I just want you to slip your hand up and say, that's me, I'm opening the door. Here's one hand, two hands, three hands, four hands, five, six, seven, eight, nine, all over. You're opening the door right now. I want you to stand to your feet right where you are. I'm opening the door. Stand to your feet. If your hand was lifted, I'm opening the door. I'm opening the door to my heart. Come on, just tell him right now. I'm opening the door. I'm opening the door of my heart. I'm opening the door of my heart. I'm opening the door of my heart. You can come in. Come on, tell him. I'm opening the door of my heart. I'm opening the door of my heart. I'm opening the door of my heart. You can come in. Father, you see every person who's standing for your glory. I don't know that we even have room to bring them down. But right where you are, you're making a decision. You did it first when you stood. And now as your hands are lifted to to the Father. You're making a declaration of total surrender to Him right now. I open my heart to You, Father. Come in and change me. Come in and rearrange me. So we're going to pray together. I want you to say right now, Jesus, come on, just sing it to Him. Jesus, come into my heart. Sing it. Come into my heart. I bet you never prayed this prayer like this before. Jesus, come on, tell Him. Jesus, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart and change me forever. Tell Him. Change me forever. Yes, change me forever. Father, I thank You right now that You're changing our hearts. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts, confession is made by making sound. I'm making a sound confession when I say, Jesus. Come on, tell Him. Jesus, come into my heart. Change me forever. I receive You as my Lord and my Savior. I receive Your forgiveness. I'm set free today from my past. I'm set free today from my pain. I'm set free today from my identity being in my old person. Today, I'm a new creation. Right now, I'm born again by the Spirit of God, transforming me in His image. I live and I breathe and I have my being inside of Jesus. 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 Come on, declare His name. Jesus. Jesus. Singing to your Savior, Jesus, my life is Yours. My life is Yours. My life is Yours. Now, if you're standing and you've given your heart to the Lord, I want you to put both hands up in the air so all the spiritual trainers can see you. You see all the hands that are up, all the spiritual trainers, can they see you? Are you getting what you need? Because I want you to keep standing right where you are. But I'm going to ask, the Holy Spirit is moving me to ask for one more thing. For every person, you say, well, I know I was born again, but my life, it's been all messed up because I've been trying to run it myself. And I'm ready and I'm willing to make Him the Lord of my life. I mean, the Lord of everything, the Lord of my future. I'm ready to turn loose of everything that is not like Him. I'm ready. If that's you, I want you to stand and join them right where you are. You're ready. You're making that decision. You're leaving behind everything that is not like Him. And you're making a declaration. You're drawing the line in the sand and you're saying, this is the day. This is the day. I'm going to look back at this day and say, that was the day. That was the day. This is the day. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, stand up. If it's you, don't miss your opportunity. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief will arise from somewhere else. But are you willing to risk your children and your grandchildren on your moment, your little bit of moment of embarrassment? No. Don't risk them. Don't roll the dice on their future, for you and your household will perish. I'll tell you, it took me a long time to figure out that everything I don't overcome will overcome me. You can't just pretend like you don't have that broken place in you. Because if you don't deal with it, it'll deal with you. every day of your life, and then your kids will have to deal with it, and then your grandkids will have to deal with it. But Jesus was big enough, and he paid enough price so that if you were abused, you can be free from the scar of it. Do I look like I was abused? Do I talk like I was abused? Do I sing like I was abused? No, because I'm healed. I'm healed. I don't have Holy Ghost amnesia where I don't remember. I remember with forgiveness. I forgive. I let it go. Listen, if you're not able to forgive and let it go, listen, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You are the only person that's getting sick when you will not let go of unforgiveness and bitterness. So if you're ready right now, the Spirit of God is in this place. He's doing things. If you're ready to be free from your pain, if you're ready to be free from the abuse, if you're ready to be free from the divorce, if you're ready to be free from rejection and abandonment, I want you to stand to your feet right now.